Welcome to the very first edition of Not the Gooner Podcast. This is a very poor relation, actually, of the Gooner Podcast. And if the Gooner Podcast is British Airways, well, we're EasyJet in comparison, a cheap, no-frills ride from A to B. Well, in this case, we're just going straight through the news. And with me today is George from Gunner Talk. Right, the first thing I want to talk about with you, George, is James Olley's piece in the Evening Standard. It's the first thing I've ever seen written by a sports journalist that uses the word schadenfreude. I don't even know what it means, so I haven't looked it up yet, must confess. But anyway, it's worth mentioning for that alone. But really, the thing I wanted to ask you about is the fact that James Olley is very critical of Arsene Wenger, in that really his hand has been forced somewhat in the transfer market. He's had to bring or attempt to bring Jens Lehmann back to Arsenal, when he could have got Mark Schwalzer if he'd have forked out another £1 million in the summer. I mean, what do you make of all of that? Do you think Arsene Wenger's at fault for not strengthening the goalkeeping department?
I think Standard has got a valid point here. I think we've had these goalkeeping problems for the last few seasons. Actually, ironic enough, we have never replaced Lance Lehmann since he left. And out of desperation, we're bringing him back to cover for us now. So I think they've got a very good point there. We should have bought a top Premiership goalkeeper a long time ago.
Yeah, it does seem to be what most people believe anyway. And what about Almunia? How will it affect Almunia? Because, of course, many people say that Lehmann and Almunia didn't get along at all, and the writer of the article, James Olley, he's mentioned that as well. And is it going to be good for Almunia's confidence having some hated enemy? I don't know if they hate each other, but it's been.
Yeah, I think Lehmann has already come out and said that he's quite prepared to play second fiddle to Almunia. So I don't foresee any problems there at all. I think personally, having Lehmann around the team and the dressing area is a plus, definite plus, because of the experience he has. Don't forget he was the member of the invisible team, so it can't be bad, can it?
Yeah, that's true, but he does tend to lose his rag quite easily. I remember him getting wound up, I think it was by Robbie Keane, when Robbie Keane or some Tottenham player was stepping on his toes. Do you think he might have calmed down now that he's 41 and retired, apart from a few games
for Arsenal? To be honest with you, I wouldn't have him any other way. I mean, He's mad, and I think we might need some madness in our team anyway. So I don't think that will be any problem. I think the young ones in our team will look up to him and then maybe put their act together in a way.
They'll be too scared not to look up to him.
Exactly.
And yeah, another thing that James Olley flagged up in the Evening Standard was a story which I find quite incredible about Nicholas Bentner possibly being on the move in the summer. And according to this article, Blackburn have offered 15 million or are about to offer 15 million, which sounds quite far-fetched. And then Juventus and Lazio apparently are interested. Borussia Dortmund and Hamburg also interested. I mean, what's the chances of Nicholas Bentner moving on, do you think?
I think Nicholas Bentner talks to talk, but doesn't always walk to walk, does he? He's a decent player, I have to say, and he's quite useful. But if we get a good amount of money for him, I think we should just sell him on, say, about 15 million, as it's been quoted, that Blackburn are offering us.
Yeah.
I think we should grab that money, to be honest with you.
And also, do you think it's true that what James Olley says is that Bentner is behind Marion Chamakh in the pecking order? I mean, I didn't think it's that clear. To me, I would have thought that Arsene Wenger prefers Bentner to Chamakh at the moment. But what do you think? What do you think Wenger's actually thinking? Do you think he thinks Chamakh's a better player than Bentner, or vice versa, or does he just pick and choose according to the match?
I think the way Arsene Wenger thinks about Bentner is he's a bit more versatile than Chamakh. He can play on the side as well. Chamakh is out and out center forward, I think. So in a way, Arsene Wenger prefers him because of his versatility, really. But from my point of view, I think Chamakh is much, much better player than Bentner. And then to play him as a centre forward, I would always choose Chamakh in front of him.
As well as George from Gunner Talk, we've got Simon also. He's going to comment on today's news. And once again, I'm going to run through the James Ollie piece, but very briefly this time. Basically, one of the contentious issues is with Arsene Wenger trying to bring back Jens Lehmann to the club. I mean, do you think that's a case of after the horse has bolted and bringing back somebody that perhaps shouldn't have been allowed to leave? And also, shouldn't it have been a case of just get Mark Schwarzer? If we really wanted Mark Schwarzer, why didn't we spend £1 million extra and bring him in? Because I think the transfer fee, they were quibbling over £1 million, basically. So do you think Arsene Wenger's at fault there, as suggested in this article in the Evening Standard?
Well, I'll start off by saying good evening, Joe.
All right.
Thanks for having me on here. Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with Jens Lehmann in that respect. £1 million at a club like Arsenal, where you see the profits that we're getting and the gate receipts that we're getting, I don't think that's a lot of money. I don't think it's too much to ask for someone who clearly wasn't ever going to be there long term. That's probably the role of Polish Steve, as I call him, Szczesny. Mm-hmm. And I think Mark Schwarzer could have only ever really have come for 2 years, because he'd have been 40 by the time that contract would have ended. And yeah, I think he should have definitely have got him in. He clearly didn't trust the goalkeepers that he had. For me, it was weird seeing Almunia play at Blackburn at the start of the season, where I thought he was absolutely outstanding. That's when this Mark Schwarzer situation was still active, with it being the 28th of August. Once the transfer window shut and Almunia was going to be the number one, his performances dipped again. I think Arsene should have noted that from before. His performances did tend to dip when, say, Jens Lehmann was not exactly going to be pushing him for number one. His performances then dipped. I think he only plays well under pressure. You want a goalkeeper with experience like Mark Schwarzer who can play under pressure. So I agree with Jens Lehmann in that respect.
But do you think with Jens Lehmann, do you think perhaps he's going to lose confidence, Almunia, because of course they've had this well-documented personality clash, and, well, perhaps Lehmann says the wrong things to get Almunia going. I mean, because Almunia didn't play that well when Lehmann was at the club before, did he? I mean, when Almunia was the stand-in, a lot of people thought he wasn't even good enough as a reserve keeper, let alone first choice. But, I mean, how do you think it's going to affect Almunia's form, being number one and watching, you know, having Lehmann watching and perhaps not saying the right things to encourage him?
I think it's going to spur him on. Just like I said with his performance at Blackburn in August, when he's under pressure, when he has to perform, I think that's when he's at his best. When he feels comfortable, I get the impression that he doesn't work hard enough off the pitch to make sure that everything he has is set right for a match day. But I do feel that he knows now, I've got a big character behind me. I've got something to prove once again. You always hear him say that I have nothing to prove, but that's just, for me, a smokescreen. He knows he's got an awful lot to prove, and I think he's going to enjoy it. I really do. And to be fair to him, the last two games he's played for us, he has been pretty damn good.
And so how do you think Lehmann will perform if he's called upon? Do you think he's going to be more than a bit ring rusty, bearing in mind he's not kicked a ball, I mean, or saved a ball since, what, last season? He's been in retirement, right, since then.
Yeah, that's right.
How's he going to cope?
I think he'll be okay, because he's kept training at Arsenal, from all accounts, getting his coaching badges as well. I don't think he's a guy who would really let himself get out of good nick. And I think he would have been aware of this situation probably maybe a month ago as well, once Fabianski got injured and once there was a problem with Mannone at Hull. I think he might come in and he might take about 10-15 minutes to find his feet, I reckon. But he's so experienced, he knows his position so well, that I think if called upon, it's not just his ability, but his mentality. He loves big matches. He loves pressure. I don't think it'll be a problem for him. My only concern would be if Almunia does get injured, the luck we're having, would Jens get injured as well? Seeing as he hasn't played so many games for so long. And then we'd have to put little O'Shea in goal. I think his name's O'Shea anyway. I think he'd be okay, personally. But I don't think he'll actually play for some reason.
Yeah, you really convinced. Like, a lot of people said that about Sol Campbell. I mean, what is it about Arsenal? All of a sudden, it's these sort of desperate measures, it feels like. Even though I was quite happy to see Sol Campbell come back to the club. Yeah. I'm kind of happy to see Jens Lehmann come back to the club as well.
I'd love
to see him in a coaching capacity, not on the pitch. When you're retired, you're retired. You shouldn't be putting your gloves back on again, should you?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Do you think this is a way of top team should behave? I mean,
I mean, if that was the case, then Nigel Winterburn would have come back when we lost Ashley Cole and Clichy, and we were playing Flamini and Sebastian Larsson at left back. So I don't think the club should be operating like this. I think what the issue is that between 2005 and 2007, we lost almost all of the Invincibles in the space of 18 months. Vieira and Edu were allowed to leave at the same time. And then the season after the Champions League final, we lost three of our back four in Lauren, Campbell, Cole, and we lost Robert Pires, we lost Dennis Bergkamp. Freddie Ljungberg effectively left because he barely played after that. And I think the problem is we've tried to create a new team from fresh, and that's not worked. And I think there's people that out there, the players like Campbell and Lehmann, they know the ethos of Arsenal. They know the way of winning at Arsenal. And I think there's no one else you could bring in, such as a big name, who can come in with the right attitude as well. I think that's what Arsenal's a bit worried about. So, you know, if you brought in, say, Samuel Eto'o, he'd probably come and shake things up a bit too much. I think when you bring back someone who's a legend, it is someone for people to look up to, and you wouldn't necessarily be sitting there worrying, saying, oh, he's on 55 grand more than me and he's only going to be here for 10 games, that kind of thing. So I think he's just looking for experience and the right attitude at Arsenal. I personally don't like the way that this is going, and I think he probably thinks maybe I made a mistake in letting so many experienced players go at one time.
Yeah, now he's clawing them back one by one. But the thing the thing that really gets to me is why do the contract negotiations take so long? Because you wouldn't think bringing a retiree back to the club would be so complicated. We're either going to do it or we're not going to do it. Why does it take so long? I mean, you hear about it in all the newspapers first. Yeah. And finally, you know, like with Sol Campbell, I think it dragged on, I don't know how many weeks that dragged on. I mean, with Lehmann, it doesn't look like it's going to drag on weeks. Rather than weeks, it's going to be days by the looks of it. But still, do you think there's something amiss there, or is it just a case of, you know, it's all contract negotiations take a long time, whether you're signing a physio, the guy that looks after the boots, the washerwoman, whoever it might be, you know, it's going to take a long time.
I genuinely do think it does take a long time. Someone that I've seen a lot of with contracts is Jermaine Pennant, and obviously you keep an eye on him because he was a Gooner, and he's always said that his contract negotiations seem to take forever, and it happened at Stoke. He only signed a couple minutes before the end of the deadline, and they were looking at getting him in for about a month. Comes down to agents, other clubs. It comes down to people being free. I don't think I've heard Arsene say before, this was January 2006, that he hadn't had much time to speak to the players during the month because everything was so busy. So maybe he's directly involved in the contracts. We don't know at the moment. But if that is the case, then maybe it's a case of people being busy.
Poor old Arsene, overworked Arsene. And one more thing before we go. Just wanted to ask you about James Ollie's other piece in the Standard. He was talking about the fact that Nicholas Bentner is a wanted man, you know, that he's almost as good as his own hype, it seems, because there's so many clubs chasing it. Blackburn, 15 million, we're talking from Blackburn.
15 what? Right
there. That's what it says. I don't know.
Okay.
But it says 15 million, that's the offer from Blackburn. And then we're talking about Juventus, Lazio, Borussia Dortmund, or Hamburg. He can take his pick. So do you think he's going to leave this summer?
It wouldn't surprise me, put it that way. I think a lot of Arsenal fans obviously get on his back because since 2007, he's been saying a bit too much too soon, I think, about why he's not in the team and moaning. The thing that got me this season, and I'm one of his biggest supporters, was that he'd been injured with a groin injury. He admitted he should not have played last season, but he was so desperate to go to the World Cup that he did. He couldn't play at the start of this season. As soon as he was back, he was moaning about not playing. Didn't make a blind bit of sense to me. And then his performances haven't backed up what he's suggesting that he is. So I think Arsenal might actually, at this point, with him being 23, going to be 24 at the end of the year, they might actually sit down and say to themselves, have we got someone who's a bit like him at the club? And you would say yes, in J. Emmanuel Thomas, who, in my opinion, is probably a slightly more talented player. If we want to develop players, then probably you'd be looking at J. Emmanuel Thomas, and I think Nicholas can set sail. And obviously, as a Gooner, it does hurt quite a lot that he got presented an opportunity last week where, had his touch been a quarter decent, we'd actually be in the next stage of the Champions League and probably flying high now. So, I think probably we might let him go, yeah.
Yeah, so that's cost us at least 15 million, him not having a decent first touch. We deserve that money, really. Would you take anything less than 15 million?
No, I'd be tempted not to. We sell players every year, and I noticed that most of them go for around about that price, and the one that didn't was Eduardo. I think he went for about 7. So
yeah, because of his record more than anything. Because at least Benter's, well, he's had injuries this season, but, you know, I mean, he's still young, right? So he's
exactly
worth decent money, you'd think, on a transfer market. So hopefully we'll get that if he does indeed move on. So
I think it's important that we do that. And if he doesn't go, then he has to prove his worth, a bit like Almunia's doing at the moment.